It's the thing that I like to do more than anything else in the world, is to preach God's word. And I feel such an honor to be able to do it, because I realize that the word of God is powerful, and it's sharper than any sword, any two-edged sword, and it divides between our spirit stuff and our soul stuff. It takes away, the cuts off the flesh, and it calls a spade a spade, not an agricultural implement. It goes right after the things that we need to be touched with in our heart. The Bible is many things to us. It is a shield that will protect us. It is a sanctuary that will hide us. It is sustenance that will feed us. The Word of God is a secret place of counsel for us. It's the Word of the Lord to us. When you're struggling, read the Bible. When you're discouraged, read the Bible. When you don't know where to turn or where to get an answer, read the Bible. So many times the Lord just speaks to me. And sometimes it comes in a very unusual way. Just this past yesterday, we were just kind of on our way home from the missions down in Florida, and we got to spend a night and a day with Matthew and Katie and the little grandkids. And little Emma's 3 years old, and she came up to me and she said, "Papa, would you tell me a Bible story?" So I said, "All right." And I opened up the Bible. We were sitting at the table. He's only three. And I read out of the Psalms, first of all. I just read a psalm, Psalm 150. She said, "That's the Psalms." I thought, my goodness, this is amazing. Then I said, "Well, let me tell you another story and tell me if you know who this is about." So after I told her the story about the bulrushes and the little baby, she said, "That's Moses." I said, "What about the lion's den?" "That's Daniel." So I said, "What's your favorite story today?" She said, "David, who killed Goliath." She's three. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak through her and say, "That's what I should preach to you about today." So I want you to open up your Bibles. And something that Pastor Leo said when he came up to receive the offering about receiving the worship to quiet the soul, the songs of the Lord, is right here in the very first part of what I want to share with you. It was right a word from the Lord, just as a little word of confirmation. So thank you, Leo. And we start off in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 21. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of Saul's armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, his father, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the Spirit of God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. This is the beginnings of David's life. I'm going to read to you about his killing of Goliath in just a minute. But he starts off really as a lad. This isn't a very close connection that he's having with Saul. In fact, when he goes to kill Goliath, Saul doesn't even know who he is. But he knows his instrument and the music that he plays. And he says, "Whoever's doing that, let them come and stay at my house, because they're pleasing me with their worship music. And it's quieting my spirit." Because at this time, Saul had already turned away from the Lord in disobedience, and an evil spirit had come inside of him. And the only thing, it seems, that he knew where he could get any kind of comfort was when David would come and play his worship music. So we're going to talk now about David and Goliath fighting the giant. But what is David doing to start with? When he's a young man, he's serving the Lord, but in a very questionable situation. Because King Saul doesn't have the anointing of God upon him anymore. And King Saul has turned away from the Lord. And yet David is still serving, still worshiping, still blessing. There's times in your preparation, times in the preparations as God is training you, when you, it's like you're on a detour. It's like you're in the wrong place. It's like, what are you doing working at this place? Or, you know, why aren't things moving the way they should be working? And David is such a good example to us, because here in the midst of his preparation time, he's probably doing things that he's not 100% pleased with, yet he's doing it unto the Lord. He's serving unto the Lord. So this is the place where we begin. We hold ground, we're faithful, and we give ourselves in worship and service unto the Lord, even though the situation isn't solved, even though the problem hasn't yet been taken care of. And now, let's go into the next chapter. In chapter 17 and verse 45, David said to the Philistine, that's Goliath, of course, "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you." Say, "I come against you."
I come against you.
"In the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." Heavenly Father, we open our hearts to you now for the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you to put a sword in our hands and a sword in our mouths, that we might speak with such authority in these days. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of angels, the power of miracles, and the power of your presence in us right now. We thank you for the power of your words, power of prophetic words, power through prayer, and the laying on of hands. We say yes to the power of God into our circumstance and situation. We speak it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The title of this message is Attacking Goliath. Because you see, the way it usually goes is that we're squirming because we're under attack. We're in a place where we're on the defensive because the enemy is after us, and he's coming to destroy us. He's coming to ruin us. He's coming to wear us out. Everywhere I went on this trip in Florida, people were under immense attack. It wasn't just in one place. It was every single place we went to. There were people who were in the middle of a battle fighting. Some of them were fighting for their health. Some of them were fighting just to build a church and to hang on. Some pastors were really fighting a battle to stay their ground and continue to do the work of the ministry. Some said to me, some pastors, "I'm a failure. I don't think I can do this." And these are great people of God. There was a falling away of numbers in every single church I visited. Numbers are down by half. One of the Cuban pastors said he didn't know what happened. Then in the fall season of the year, usually after summer's over, the church fills up again. But it didn't happen this year. And he went and talked to his other pastor's friends at their ministerial, and he sheepishly brought it up. And they said, "That's the same thing with every one of our churches. There is such a battle." In a different church, the pastor's wife said, "I feel there's a spirit of distraction on the people of God, so that they're not focused." You know, this can really undo a pastoral team when they are putting everything they can, doing the best they can, and things, instead of growing, instead of becoming stronger, just kind of become more casual and then fizzle out. I've been in this business for so long now that I'm not fussed, because I'm just serving the Lord. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. I am loving you and serving you, but really I do it for Jesus. My heart focuses on Him. I hope I can help you along the way. But this is a battle that all the churches that I visited to, some of them were embarrassed that I had returned and their numbers were so few. And his wife said, well, what's Pastor Peter going to say when he comes and he sees how many people are in the church? So the pastor told me that his wife said that. And I said, please don't ever be concerned about that with me. If it's just me visiting with you. And of course they had, 100 people. But they used to have double that number. But there is a battle going on at every single level. There's a battle for your family, for your children. There's a battle for health. On this trip, there were two different people that came up to me and said that after we prayed for them, the doctors told them that they had no more cancer in their bodies. They said it was direct response to you breaking curses and praying over our lives. So I give praise to the Lord for that, for those miracles. But there's battles galore. And most people are fighting. Well, they're not really fighting. Most people are just surviving. Most people are saying, oh, I'm getting beat up. What am I going to do? How can I stand my ground? So I haven't called this message "When Goliath Attacks." I've called it "Attacking Goliath." It's time you said, I am going after this. I heard that Pastor Jeff said on Sunday, he gave some testimony, either Sunday or Wednesday night, about some of the challenges and attacks that have come against him. And I heard that you said something like, is that all the devil's got? Amen. Come on, devil. You ain't fizzing me. Is that all you've got? When I heard it, my heart leapt, and I said, yes, Jeff, that's right. Because I've been saying that to the devil all my life. Is that all you got? You see what my God's got? You see what's inside of me? You're going to lose today, devil. The power of God is within me. So here's David. And he is coming before this giant, Goliath. Now let's go back and go through the story just a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socoh in Judah. Verse 4. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistines' camp. He was over 9 feet tall. 9 feet tall. That's as tall as that cross right there. Can you imagine? I mean, most people are giants to me, any rate. But 9 foot tall. And maybe you might feel that your giant that you have to fight is 9 foot tall. There's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't fight battles. There's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't have to take down a giant from time to time. So here this giant is 9 foot tall. And we read on. It says in verse 5, he had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs were bronze greaves, and bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. Now, this is the beginning of the Iron Age. Most of his equipment is bronze, but there's this new metal that they've just discovered called iron. And the point, his arrowhead, his spearhead, is heavy. And it is made of iron. This was the reason for most of the battles between the Philistines and the Israelites. From the Israelites' perspective, it was over iron. Because the iron mines were on the other side of Jordan in the place called Tishbe. And the Philistines came from Gaza down towards Egypt. And they had to travel with their chariots up along the coast and then come through the valley of Armageddon, the Jezreel Valley, go past the Sea of Galilee and go to Tishbe to get their iron. All chariot armies at this time needed iron. Because if you had only bronze, a bronze sword, and you swung your sword, and somebody else had an iron sword, it would cut your sword in half. So whoever had iron, it was like they were the ones who had the nuclear weapons. They had supremacy in military warfare. And so the Philistines had to cross through the land of Israel constantly. And when they did, they would ravish the people. They would take the food supplies and trample their crops with their chariots. So the Israelites would fight them. There was this continuous fight going on between the Philistines and the Israelites. And they came and camped together just halfway between Gaza and Jerusalem. Still close, not too far from the coast, in the southern portion of the active portion of Israel. So if you can think where Jerusalem is, kind of right in the middle, and then come towards the Mediterranean a little bit, that's where this battle took place. And there was a huge valley. And the Israelites were on one mountain, you know, kind of a big hill, and the Philistines were across the valley on the other. And this Goliath was taunting the people of God. In verse 10, then the Philistines said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel." Now, is that happening to you in some area of your life? The devil is coming and say, "This day I defy you and your God. I defy your family. I defy you. I defy your health. I defy your finances. I come against you." Look what it says in verse 11. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now look at these two words. First, they were dismayed. Dismayed means to be confused and discouraged. A lot of you are confused and discouraged. Why? Because this shouldn't be happening to you. You're children of the living God. Why has it happened all of a sudden that you are under such attack? How did the enemy get in like this? And there's a sense of dismay, a sense of discouragement, and a sense of confusion. He says, all Saul and his army were dismayed and terrified. Some of you are in a bit of a panic because of the attacks of the devil against you and your family. And I don't blame you for feeling that pressure. There's so much at stake here. And the enemy comes in like a flood. But when he does, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. But it's not just what you say. What you say is important. But there has to be something in your spirit that intimidates the devil. Because some of you have been intimidated by Goliath. By this 9-foot spiritual entity who's coming to tear you down. He's defying you. And even the king and all of his great soldiers were dismayed and terrified. They were probably saying, Lord, how can we be in this situation? Look at this giant. Who can fight this giant? The guy's 9 foot tall. The head on the end of his spear is as big as my head. It's like a giant avocado on the end of his spear. And it's got a sharp point. When that thing comes with this weaver's beam of a shaft behind it, it'll go right through and out the other side of three men. Oh, Lord. This is how some of you are feeling. Because that's how the enemy is coming. And he's taunting you. He's taunting the people of God. It says in verse 16, for 40 days, the Philistine, this Goliath, came forward every morning and every evening, and he took his stand. And he yelled. And he swore and cursed vile things. And said, come out, send somebody to fight me. And whoever wins will become the champions and will rule over the other army. And then we read in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40. David took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, and he put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. He's going to go and fight him. He's not waiting to get beat up. He's going to face him. I want to know what you got in your shepherd's bag. There's a bag that the shepherd gave you. What's in your shepherd's bag? The time to get ready for war is in a time of peace. Don't wait till war comes upon you to get ready for war. Every smart and intelligent community or country in the world prepares themselves for the day of battle when they're in peace and they're at a green tree and everything is going well and the economy's strong, and they prepare and fortify themselves. And this is true for you. You might say, I'm having a great time right now. Hallelujah. So glad to be a Christian. And you're just humming along. Well, you should get out your shepherd's bag and start putting tools in that. You don't want to get blindsided by the enemy, because he comes up on your blind side and he comes in with such an attack. It's strategic. He's come to kill and steal and destroy. I want to meet you in the millennium. After the tribulation period's all finished, the devil's in the pit, and the false prophet and the beast are in the hell fires, and there's no demons on the earth. And I want to come and visit you when you don't have a battle. I want to see what you're like when you're just in the glory. But there's some of you who are already that way, even though there's a battle. So David, he gets his shepherd's bag, and he goes down to the stream. The king tried to give him his armor. You know, you can't wear mine. It'd be too small for you. You can't wear somebody else's armor. They can teach you how to swing a sword or whatever, but You have to wear what God gives you. You've got to find what are the five stones that God wants to put in your shepherd's bag for you. And this man, David, he's just a boy. And he went down to the stream and he chose them himself. He picked out the ones that would work for him. Saul said, here, put on my armor. And he put it on. He says, no, I can't fight with your armor on. It's not me. But he knew where his strength came from. He knew what he could do really well. Now, they both had the same enemy. They both wanted to see the enemy destroyed. But they had different weapons. And so, he goes down and he gets these five stones. Now, I'll tell you what my five stones are. First one is the Word of God. I have the Word of God inside of me. I can quote verses and chapters. And they have a tendency to rise inside of me when the enemy comes. The Word of God comes. And I feel the Holy Spirit saying, use this stone. I don't listen much to my emotions because my feelings, you know, I'm Jewish. I have the deep river of emotions like all Mediterranean people. But they have a long time ago come under discipline. My emotions and my feelings do not call the shots. I don't remember the last time I was angry. I think I remember a time, if I stretch myself to think about it, it was 25 years ago when I was frustrated to the point that anger showed. But don't think I'm not a hot-blooded emotional person inside. I'm passionate. But those emotions will not dictate my activity or what I'm going to do, whether I give up or whether I go forward. They will not have a say. They have to submit to the Lord. My soul has to come under the guidance of the Spirit of God that is within me. And it's always that way. It's not on a good day. It's on a bad day, it's that way. So, the Word of God is one stone that I have in my shepherd's bag. The second thing I have in my shepherd's bag, second stone that I've got, is the presence of God. I walk in the presence of the Lord. Always. I feel his presence. I'm talking with him. In fact, on this trip, when I was ministering down with the Cubans, there was this one tall, good-looking, handsome 22-year-old man who was a good disciple. And he came up to me and he says, Pastor, tell me about your prayer life. So I said, I have just one word. Always. That's it. I said, I find myself praying and I wasn't realizing that I was praying until I say, what am I doing? And then I say, oh, I was praying. There's a constant flow in the presence of the Lord in my life. So that's so important to me, because if I'm away from the presence of the Lord, I don't trust myself. I don't trust what wisdom I might come up with or what logical idea I might get a hold of. I have to have the presence of the Lord with me. I'm too insecure not to have the presence of God. So the third stone is the name of the Lord. David said, you come against me with a spear and a sword. But I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel. Now this is amazing how powerful the name Jesus is. This is such an amazing thing. Weak people who fail in every other area, who mention the name of Jesus, find his power coming and demons fleeing at that name. Demonized people who learn the name of Jesus and speak it from their heart find they overcome the devil. So I love the name of Jesus. I think in Jesus' name is the most common phrase in the Christian vocabulary. Or it should be. Because in Jesus' name we pray. And in Jesus' name we prophesy. And in Jesus' name we do all kinds of activities. And in Jesus' name we serve. In Jesus' name we sacrifice. In Jesus' name we give. Even a glass of water we give in Jesus' name. Because there's such power and authority. So these stones that I chose out of the stream, because I have to fight Goliath too. It's the Word of God. It's the Scriptures. It's the presence of God giving me strength. It's the name of the Lord. Now this next stone that I have, you might be surprised by it. I call it the hearing of faith. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, Paul asked the Galatians, "Did you receive the Spirit of God by the keeping of the law, by rules and regulations, or by the hearing of faith?" See, I'm not only in the presence of God, but I want to hear faith. Because God always speaks faith to me. It's always faith. It's always yes and amen in Christ Jesus. It's always yes, we can. It's always we might have to go around the corner, but yes, we can. See, I heard a wise man say this. Actually, his name was Abraham Lincoln. He said, "A compass always points true north. But if you're at a certain place in the south and you want to go directly north, you can't go in a straight line because there's a lake in the way. You have to kind of deviate from the compass to go around the lake. And if you just say, 'I'm just staying right due north by the compass,' you'll be blowing bubbles at the bottom of the lake." So this journey we're on, it's not so easy. At times it takes all these detours and goes all over the place. And you have to reset your compass. But during it, you need the hearing of faith. Too many voices out there. And too many good counselors. I have to hear God for my life, for my family. When I'm facing Goliath, whatever that Goliath is, that's the time when most of all, you have to have the hearing of faith. Faith hearing. The faith hearing says, "This is what I want you to do now." Then you test it. And you make sure that it was God speaking and not your emotions. Because your emotions will either be proud and send you over the cliff, or be weak and make you crawl back into the cave. But the voice of the Lord will take you on the path. So that comes from the hearing of faith. "Here I am, Lord. Show me. Speak to me." So my five stones It's the word of God, the presence of God, the name of the Lord, the hearing of faith. You know what the fifth one is? It's the proclamation of prophetic prayers. When you hear me pray, you should know by now, I ask and then I act as if I already have it and I speak it into existence. I prophesy the prayer. Now I speak an open door. Now I speak healing to you. Now I release the power of God. I break off every power of darkness and sickness and evil thing. I'm not just saying, Lord, will you please, if you have time, and if you're not so busy, and Lord, if somehow you still love me. Ay, ay, ay. I don't know that that kind of prayer could ever get answered. Because the Bible says, if you don't have faith when you pray, do not think that you will get anything. But when you pray, act as if you already have it, and it shall be given you. So I'm skipping step number 2 and 3, going right from 1 to 5. I'm saying, Lord, today I need a healing for Jesse. Now, Jesse, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing into your body. I come into agreement with heaven for the power of God, for the Holy Spirit, for faith, for strength, for life, for healing. I speak it over you, Jesse. So that's my fifth stone. It's prophetic prayer. So here's my 5 stones that are in my shepherd's bag. And they're always there. So if there's a Goliath that comes on my path, sometimes Goliaths hang around far too long. In this case, yeah, it's 40 days, but sometimes it's years. But I want to ask you now, have you gone to the brook? The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down by quiet waters. He restores my soul. You go there. Then you say, Lord, what are the stones that I can use to fight? You have to be strategic. And then when you get those stones, I'll say them again, mine. The word of God, the presence of God, the name of the Lord, the hearing of faith, and the speaking out of prophetic prayers. Then we read on. It says, David said, I am coming against you. He says, you come against me in verse 45 with a spear, but I come against you. Now this is what you have to start thinking like this. You wicked, evil spirit, I'm coming after you. In the name of Jesus, by the power of his blood, I'm coming after you. You wicked thing, I'm going to be your worst nightmare. I'm coming after you. Can you imagine? See what it says there in verse 42? It says that Goliath looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. This boy got under this giant's skin. He ticked off that giant. That giant really thought he was somebody. And David said, you're coming against me with a spear. Ha! And a sword, of all things. I'm coming against you. I'm coming after you. With the name of the Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going after you, Goliath. I'm going to burn your butt. I got fire in my hands here. Now, there's a switch in your thinking if you're going to be like this, isn't there? I'm just telling you what I do. Most demons that I've ever met are really frightened of me. And I'm just a little person. But I come in the name of the Lord, who created heaven and earth. And then we read on. It says, verse 48, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward him. And in the battle line to meet him, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. Big dust cloud. Verse 50, so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Actually, it was with the name of the Lord God Almighty. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. You might say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to fight this battle. I don't have a sword. You know, swords are different from all other ancient weapons. Because when archaeologists go and they dig up a site, they can find spears and they can find bows and arrows and knives. All of those are used for hunting, but not swords. Swords are never used for hunting. You can't run after a deer with your sword. Swords are only used for warfare. So when archaeologists uncover a site and they find a lot of swords, they know that these were a warring people. Not just hunters. They were people of war. Here's David. He doesn't even have a war instrument in his hand according to man's specifications. But this Goliath has a huge sword. So after David knocks him down with one of his stones, verse 51, David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it out of his scabbard, no doubt two hands. This thing's heavy. Pulled it out of its scabbard. And after he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. I could get into this. I hate evil. And when you come against the Goliath, the giant in your life, you kill it and you cut its head off. Don't leave his head on. You take authority over that thing. You stamp on it. You do a war dance on that demon. You send him running. Let me tell you what will happen. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Now, some of you may be having too many demons focused on you and troubling you and giving you all kinds of problems. It's because you just have a shield and you're just trying to deflect. And that's part of the armor. But it's not enough. You need to go after that thing in the name of the Lord. And make it sorry for ever coming after you. Demons hate the name of Jesus. They hate the blood of the Lamb. They hate the fellowship of the saints. They hate your faithfulness. They hate your tithing. They hate every good service of ministry that you put forth. They hate it when you give over and above. They hate it when you worship. They hate it when you rejoice in the Lord. They absolutely hate it. But if you can say, oh my, I think God's abandoned me. It feels so bad. I've been under such attack. I can't get out of this pain. The demons are over here saying, hey, there's a good one. Come on. Let's grab a whole pile more and go have a real party. I hope I'm frightening you. But if you stand up, you can just be a boy. You can just be a boy. And when the demons look at you and see how weak you are and how frail you are, they will despise you because they're proud. Who are you to come against me? I've been a demon on this earth for 6,000 years, and I've tortured kings. Who do you think you are? And you turn and you say, I'm just a young lady. I'm just a small boy. You come to me with all your horror and all your darkness and all your evil, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the Almighty God, and this day I'm going to kill you and I'm going to cut off your head. You go after that thing. Don't let up. He will be so frightened of you. They'll say, ah, don't go near that lady's house. She's a Holy Spirit Jesus lady. I'm telling you, this is, now, you might say, well, what about people? Whenever there's bad stuff in people, there's demons behind it. Now, you can't go after people like that. Soldiers and policemen are allowed to do that. You're not. Your battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers of darkness. Soldiers, it's time you turned it around. The whole camp of Israel was in fear until a boy came along. Who said, I come in the name of the Lord. I have my shepherd's bag. I'm going to get my 5 stones. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares defy the armies of the living God? And he cut off his head that day. And all of his cohorts, the Philistines, went running for their lives. This is very real now. I'm telling you what you can do. This is what you can do if you have the stones in your shepherd's bag. So I want to pray for you now. You might be going through a hard time. You might be going through an easy time. But for every one of you, it's time to go down to the brook and get some shepherd's stones in your shepherd's bag, some weapons of warfare. And get ready to take your stand, to lift your head, and to swing the sword of the Spirit, and to take authority over your situation. You cannot change another person, especially if you're married to them. But you can change the direction of the demon. Change the direction of the demon. Get them looking away instead of looking toward. Would you stand? I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. I feel the presence of angels in this place right now who've been waiting for you to come forth to take your place beside the Lord God Almighty on your designated seat in the throne room. Now hold your hands out, please. And we're going to just make a prayer of dedication because that's how I always like to start things. Would you say this prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving me victory over all of my enemies. Thank you for giving me such faith and such peace. Now, in the name of Jesus, I stand with heaven for the release of authority and power against every evil thing that would come to trouble me or my family. In the name of Jesus, I take my stand today over every unclean thing. I take my place beside the angels, filled with the Holy Spirit. I ruin the designs of darkness. I ruin the ways of demons. I proclaim the name of the Lord. For the Lord is my rock and my strong tower, my hiding place, my shield, my sword, and my victory. I speak it now over my life, over my marriage, over my children, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now put your hand on your heart. I want to pray for you before we take the benediction. I just pray the peace of God into your heart. I take out every arrow, every judgment, every evil word spoken against you, every lie and accusation of the devil against you. I break it now in the name of Jesus. I say you're wonderful, woman of God. Man of God, you're absolutely wonderful. You're made in His image. You're on the team. I speak the blessing of the Lord over your life. The favor of God to be upon you. Dignity and honor and nobility to be yours. I give you strength this day. Strength in your heart. Strength in your mind. And strength in your hands. I release to you the power of God for that which is your assignment. I come into agreement with heaven as a minister of the gospel. And I say yes and amen to your victory. I open the door for you now. For you to go through into all the blessings that God has. I speak it over you in Jesus' mighty name. Now I speak the blessing of the Lord over you. The peace of God to be upon you. And the goodness of the Lord to shine upon you and your family. Upon your children and your grandchildren. Upon your going out and your coming in. That you might know His favor and His goodness. I speak it over you in Jesus' name. Amen.